In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now look, we might have thrown some folks at 8 o'clock. Because when you and I started talking the way we do at home, there were some people over here at 8:15 who had no idea that we're married.
And that's fun.
And they were really, really, really mad at me. So let's just start, you know, before we hug, kiss, you know, any of that. Yeah, you know. Let's just sort of let everybody know that we've been together for 23 years. And that, because the folks over there, they're going to need therapy from 8:15.
You'll be hearing from them.
Phone was going to ring. Happy Easter. We are so delighted to be with you today. As you can imagine, in the residence or rectory next door, there is an office, and there are two large back leather chairs. And Joyce and I have a series of conversations about liturgy and about worship and our community. And there's so much about her that you do not know, and so much about you that she does not know. But we're able to talk about liturgy and worship together. And what came out of that is what you're about to hear, okay? Let's begin with this. There are two perspectives on Easter, a male perspective and a female perspective. Is it fair to say that men and women process things differently? Okay, why is every woman nodding? And the men have got this deadpan look in their face like, don't mess with us, Henry. Just don't. Two perspectives. That doesn't mean one's right and one's wrong. But it does mean you need both. You need both perspectives. And the difficulty is trying to find the balance out of Scripture. Because for those of us who believe that the Bible is the holy word of God, it means that we need to go digging in the Greek and the Hebrew to fully understand what the words meant originally. Because sometimes the English that we place on them does not carry the full essence of what they are in Greek and Hebrew. So saith the seminary student. Am I all right so far? Okay. And so what we're going to attempt to do is a bit of a dialogue, and if it offends, I'll apologize now, because it won't be her that offends you, it will be me. So I'll apologize now and get that out of the way, and then we're going to try and understand the resurrection from the male and female perspective. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the brand new beginning. This is the doorway to new opportunities. The resurrection gives us hope in the future. But there are two perspectives.
So just thinking that there are many scenarios where we say to ourselves or others, wouldn't it be great to be a fly on the wall? So today, we're going to unpack today's gospel, and I'm going to do it in relationship to the other gospel accounts of the resurrection story from the perspective of an observing woman of the women in the story. Be clear that it is early in the morning and the first day of the week. And just for fun, I looked up what the weather would be in Jerusalem this morning because, you know, we had snow. And it's going to be 30 there today. So just
30,
saying.
30 degrees Celsius?
Just saying.
And I'm still here.
Yeah, you are.
So we'll talk later.
In looking into the fuller version in Matthew that speaks to the experience of Mary Magdalene and the other women, have with the angels who appear at the tomb. They are hurrying to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body for the burial. They experience an earthquake and the moving of the stone. The men who were guarding the tomb are fearful and, as the scripture says, become like dead.
Okay, now wait a minute.
I'm just saying.
It's not fair to say that they're fearful and become like dead. It's not that they're fearful and become like dead. It's just that they've been up all night.
Agreed.
I mean, they've been fixing stuff around the house. They repaired the doorknobs. They made sure the windows opened better. It's not that they were afraid and like dead. It's just like they were terrified and weren't going anywhere.
I would agree with that. These women were surprised to find that they are greeted by an angel who speaks to them and tells them, to not be afraid. The angel tells them they will not find the living among the dead. He directs them to go to the disciples and tell them that Jesus is risen and that he will meet them again in Galilee. The women experience joy as well as their fear in this account. To watch them from a little distance away, I imagine these things about what they might be processing. I think about how involved the women were in the daily life of Jesus. They supported his ministry, not only financially, but also with hospitality wherever he went. Meaning, perhaps, they were some of those washing the feet of Jesus as he would come in for meals after a full day of preaching and teaching. They would then be serving the meals and in very close contact with him enough that they would also be witness to conversations and discussions he was having with his disciples and others. So if I were one of the women on this day in history, I would be feeling this great loss as much as the disciples who were close to him. They are the hearers of the message, so important at the time, do not be afraid. The women also play an important role as the messengers of the message to the disciples from the angels, because they would be very used to the servanthood role in following Jesus. They would go and do as the angels suggested, in obedience and without question.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
Did you just say that all the women, this is where the people over here get mad, did you just say that all the women did exactly what they were told in total obedience?
That's what I said.
I just looked over there and got scared. I got to tell you that right now. I'm not buying it. What if it wasn't silence in obedience? What if it was obedience in faith? Just saying.
In Mark's account of this story, he tells that the women brought spices and met angels inside the tomb who told them, "Don't be alarmed. Jesus is risen." The women were afraid but did as they were asked by going to tell the disciples what they had seen. The disciples did not believe. So to me, as a woman, this begs the question. In this moment, did the women trust their faith more than the men? This is not a slam against men at all. Jesus did tell them that at the Last Supper they would not understand until later. I know many men who take some time to process situations, scenarios, and comments in order to fully understand what was meant or what they had seen. After all, these men had just lost their teacher, their leader, their Jesus. In Luke's gospel, to add to this, Peter ran to the tomb because he did not believe what the women had said. In John's gospel, Simon Peter and the one whom Jesus loved ran to the tomb, and then they went back to their homes. In this gospel today, Mary Magdalene stayed behind at the tomb and wept. In Luke, the angel reminded the women Jesus had said this had to happen to fulfill what had been written. I would hope that this would help them to be comforted in the midst of their anxious nature in not finding Jesus where he had been laid. They were witness to the fulfillment of the Word made flesh and the resurrected Lord. In John's gospel, after the women encountered the angels, Mary Magdalene encountered Jesus, not knowing it was him. He spoke to her, asking her, "Why do you weep, woman?" When she answered the question and Jesus spoke to her again, calling her by name, only then did she recognize this man to be her Jesus. He reminds her he has yet to go to God, and that she cannot hold on, but that he must ascend to his Father and her Father, his God and her God. Even in the midst of her grief, Mary listened and responded to the call of God through Jesus. Again, witness to change in the history of faith in the world. When she went to announce to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," she shared what he had said to her. I wonder if on her way to the disciples, if she and the other women with her wondered, "Will they believe us?" how will we tell them? And what if they don't believe us? I can even imagine the disciples asking the women, why did Jesus speak to you? Was it perhaps that the women were more likely to just plain believe? Believe that it was him speaking to them and believe what he was saying and deliver the message? Another interesting question is how in those times do they understand or interpret angels? Were they understood to be messengers of God? They had been the messengers at Jesus' birth, for sure. Their mere presence certainly was alarming for both Peter and the one whom Jesus loved, as well as Mary Magdalene and the rest of the women. Certainly, I can imagine they were startled to see the two figures in the tomb instead of the one dead Jesus. There is a definite divide in how people think and feel about angels in this culture. Some people feel angels walk among us. Some feel angels watch over us. Some are apprehensive to acknowledge the possibility of such a thing. Some just plain do not believe. The women in this story were strong, obedient, brave, dutiful messengers, and servants of the Lord. In the end, I think as a mother, as a sister, an aunt, and a friend, a female perspective on deep faith and loss could poke a place down deep inside of you that would allow you to hear the story and process it in a slightly different way this season. My own struggle in processing this story, of course, is as a mother. Some of you in this room may have personally experienced the loss of a child, and therefore that pain and that loss, that yearning, that void that we feel as humans in those times. You are the only ones who can truly relate to Jesus' mother losing her child in this story. Her grief would be deep, and I can only imagine inconsolable. From the divine aspect of Jesus' life, if Mary could allow herself to see this from the perspective of fulfillment of the word, she would not only see the sacrifice, but the immense blessing on all souls who believed and would be led to salvation then and in all time to come. I don't know if I could displace myself enough from the human emotion in this moment to accept this fact. I am sure she was a better woman than I could ever hope to be in my faith journey with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I do know that I am blessed because of the resurrection we celebrate today, and I strive to be the servant and witness demonstrated by those women in our gospel today.
Now, here's the problem with all that. First of all, I've heard that some women, not all, just some, use more words than men in any given day. So just to balance the number of words being spoken in this homily, let me say this. You're right.
And with that, amen.